Hey there, sister. Welcome to Girl Out of Order, a podcast for women like me taking actual steps to more fully embrace their unique selves and stop trying to fit into someone else's mold. I'm your girl, Christine, and I am a multi-passionate entrepreneur, lawyer, and mama to my very own girl gang. I am fired up to help women transform what seems broken into the fuel they need to become the champions of their own damn lives. On Girl Out of Order, you'll find a community without comparison, a place where you can come as you are, but leave changed and inspired to never again deny a single part of your beautiful self in a quest to fit in. So if you're tired of feeling like you're too much and yet never enough, Girl Out of Order is your home. When you start believing that not fitting in is the perfect fit, contentment, vision, and joy will surely follow. So girls, if you're ready to do the brave work, come on in and let's get started. Welcome back to Girl Out of Order. You are rejoining me, hopefully, and if not, and you are a first-time visitor, welcome, welcome, welcome. You have jumped into a very fun, very challenging series called My V Does Not Define Me. And if you have to ask what the V means, perhaps you should go back to episode one and find out what Girl Out of Order is all about. Frankly, it's a pretty fun episode and it sets the stage for why I'm here and where we're going and what I hope to achieve in the world. So this is episode number 6 and it is the second episode in my first ever series. Follow that. So what are we talking about today? We are talking about what is commonly referred to as the sorry syndrome. And the title of our episode is Not Freaking Sorry. Yeah, it does sound like a Demi Lovato song. And frankly, I can't get it out of my head right now. I won't break out into song yet. Can't promise I won't ever break out into song. But for today, I'll refrain from singing on my podcast. In episode 5, I did the very exciting relaunch of the Girl Out of Order podcast, and my subtitle was pretty apropos for where I've been over the last year and where my new and improved attitude and momentum currently resides. And the subtitle was, It is Never Too Late to Start Anew. And ironically, I am recording this episode on April 2nd, 2022, exactly 1 year and 1 day after I launched my very first episode of Girl Out of Order. Holy cow. 366 days later, this is not where I thought I would be. And yet I can't tell you how much better of a mindset I have as I sit here recording today than I had even a year ago. In my last episode, I talked a lot about sort of the fits and starts of beginning a podcast and, you know, grand expectations and disappointments in myself and really not having a solid grasp of what I was getting myself into or the timing of when I was launching it. It was nearing the endish of the pandemic. I was, you know, handling a daughter graduating from high school with all of the trauma of the pandemic and the lost opportunities and experiences. And then I was that terribly unfortunate parent who also had a graduating eighth grader who was similarly going through the trauma of losing eighth grade dances and musicals and all the things that she had so looked forward to. And so I was holding all of that and launching this podcast. And I spent a lot of time feeling like I'd let myself and my listeners down. But in my last episode, I really cleared the deck. I just cleared it up and I'm showing up as I am as frequently as I can because my heart's passion simply cannot be contained. Is the timing ever going to be perfect for anything in our life? Yeah, that's a fool's errand and I don't care to spend any time worrying about perfect timing or perfect expectations What I care about is following where my passions are leading me and where I know I'm supposed to be. And that is right here with you. So I'm so glad that you've come back. I'm so glad that you're here for today. And I want to encourage you that as spring starts to spring, that didn't make any sense, but as spring sort of toys with us here in the Midwest, I'd love to say that it's spring, but it's April 2nd and I'm staring outside at a snowstorm because, you know, that's what happens in Northern Illinois. But as spring starts to come, you know how we all kind of start feeling that, oh, got a little hop optimism, feeling good. And we're doing this reinvention, this reinvigoration, and we're cleaning and we're opening up the windows. I feel a Frozen song coming on. Oh, no, I won't do that either. I promise I'm not going to break into song, but it keeps threatening, doesn't it? Anyway, I'm here because I want to reassure you, wherever you find yourself in your life, that it is never too late to start anew. Don't deny that dream that wakes you up at night, the one that keeps you from falling asleep, the one that pokes at you and prods at you and is constantly whispering in your ear. It's never going to be a perfect time. Just freaking start. I have been with this episode, I have had this episode outlined for almost 2 weeks. And I keep poring over it and agonizing over it and hemming and hawing and cleaning out my closets and doing all the things except sitting my ass down on the couch and just hitting record. And so I want to show up and be honest with you and encourage you and hopefully inspire you to hit record or whatever that means for your dream, because I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth, but I know that I just can't continue to just think about it and wring my hands and wait for it to be perfect. It's never going to be perfect. And isn't that what Girl Out of Order is all about? If we wait to show up perfect, we will never, ever freaking show up. And how lonely and disappointing of an existence would that be? Let me tell you, that would suck. And it has sucked for me for 366 days periodically. I have beat myself up and felt like such a flop. But I have learned so much and I am reframing and reimagining, not reimagining, that's not the right word. I am reframing the last 366 days and I am soaking up all of the lessons and all of the growth and all of the ways that these struggles to launch this dream and launch this podcast and stay consistent have taught me as a human being and as a woman, as a mother, as a lawyer, as a business owner, and as a wife. And I wouldn't want to miss a damn thing. So here I am. I am so excited about, oh my gosh, I'm so excited about this episode in our My V Does Not Define Me series. I'm so excited about it. And I'm also really pumped to tell you about some structural changes to the podcast. I know that I have said numerous times what a word freak I am. I love words. To me, words are life. And words can bring death, right? Words can have so much power to change the world, and words can tear us down. But I believe that at Girl Out of Order, we want to only engage in empowers. Oh, I love to do plays on words. So every episode, I'm going to share with you a quote or even just a word that we break down. And these are called empowers. Because as women in particular, we need to feed our minds, to feed our souls, to feed our eyes. We need to feast on things that bring us up. Because we have to fight against that in this life. We do a lot of tearing each other down, tearing ourselves down. And frankly, the world does a really good job of keeping us down. So we want to fill up our minds with empowering words from empowering sources that we can carry with us throughout the week or the weeks, depending on how long it takes me to get my ass back on this couch. So for today, with our episode of Not Freaking Sorry, we're going to talk about how we can stop apologizing for freaking everything. I wanted to share with you a quote by somebody everybody knows, but I read her quote and I look at the time period in which she lived and I'm just like, bow down to the queen. This woman blows my mind and I wish so badly I could go back in time and sit with her and ask her how she could be so strong and so confident and so empowered during a time when women were completely marginalized and disempowered. And I am talking about the unbelievably like, just, I don't know, I can't, now I'm running out of words. Isn't that great? I am talking about Eleanor Roosevelt. Eleanor Roosevelt lived from 1884 to 1962. And if you know anything about history, if you've ever even opened a history book or took a history class, which frankly, if you're listening to this podcast, I would assume that you have, Eleanor Roosevelt lived during a time when women had to fight just to even have the right to vote. I mean, I'm sad that poor woman died before we as women, when I was born in 1971, couldn't even get a credit card in our own names. I couldn't take a mortgage when I was born. The year that I was born, women could not even take out a mortgage without their husband's signature. We couldn't get a credit card. It was crazy. In 1971, this woman died in 1962. So she missed some of that, but she is one of those amazing human beings, these queens that laid the groundwork for women like me to be sitting here with women like you. And the quote that I want to share for our empowered words this week is, she said, "Do what you feel in your heart to be right, for you'll be criticized anyway. You'll be damned if you do and damned if you don't." The reason that I love that quote by Eleanor Roosevelt is it shows so much spice. I mean, that woman was spicy. She was not afraid to speak her mind. But more importantly, she had a very deep awareness of her worth and of the worth of women. And she spoke to it in a time when many women were so beaten down or just conditioned to go along with however the society said they should be, should act, should work, should not work, should have babies. Like, they just followed the path because that's what women did. But not Eleanor. She's like, you're going to be damned if you do or damned if you don't. So do what you feel to be right. She had a connectedness to her own mission, and she spoke out. And I believe, and I clearly never met the woman, but I believe she spoke out with the goal of helping other women become connected to their life's passion, that deep, deep feeling inside that they were meant for something. Whatever that mission might be, whether you're Mother Teresa or you're serving in a prison ministry or you're raising your sweet babies, whatever you feel called to do, that quote sums it up to me. And the reason I brought it into this episode is because buried in there, I think if you saw like a little subtext to that quote, it says a little asterisk. It said, "Not freaking sorry." Yeah, I'm just, you know, editorializing. However, that quote to me says, do what you feel is right and don't freaking apologize for a damn thing. Don't let anybody else tell you what you can think, what you can be, what you can do, or what you can dream. And I'll be damned, act on it because you got one life. Okay, so I filled it out. Don't know if that's what she would have said, but that's what I hear when I hear those words. And I hope that you will write those words down. They'll be in our show notes. Empowered. I'm still working on how that all, you know, plays out. But the empowereds for this week for Not Freaking Sorry are, do what you feel in your heart to be right, for you'll be criticized anyway. You'll be damned if you do and damned if you don't. Good old queen. I wish she was a queen. Eleanor Roosevelt. Okay, what are we talking about today? Remember, we're in a series called My V Does Not Define Me. And before we dive right into the meat of this particular episode, I wanted to take just a minute to re-summarize and recapture a lot of RE words. You'll kind of get on that theme as I go along here. What the My V Does Not Define Me series is and what it is not, because I don't want there to be any confusion or any assumptions made about where we're going with this series. So the three things that My V Does Not Define Me are not, we are not going to be talking about minimizing women's unique pain, their unique struggles, or their unique contributions. We are not going to deny the things we can see with our eyes. We are also not going to be minimizing the differences between men and women with physiology, biology, and psychology. This is not a flattening of the curve. I think I said that in the first episode. Every time I say it, I can't say it with a straight face because it was such a joke. But we are not going to be flattening the differences between men and women. This is not anything to diminish about how anybody chooses to live their life or how they identify. But for this purpose, for what we're doing here today on My V Does Not Define Me, we're not going to be minimizing what we can see with our eyes and feel with our hearts. And this is not a chance to rage about real and observable injustices inflicted on and experienced by women. And we are not going to be going on about injustices and ranting and raging. We may talk about them, but this isn't a place to vent. So on the flip side of that, on the positive side, what is My V Does Not Define Me series? What is the point of it? Well, what we're going to be doing here is we are going to stop with our limiting beliefs based upon our gender and based upon our female humanness, if you will. We are going to start expanding our visions for our future. We are going to stop looking around and we are going to start looking within, because remember, comparison kills. It does not breathe life into anything. And finally, we are going to stop limiting other women and we are going to start listening. We are going to start learning and we are most definitely going to start lifting up. Because remember, at the end of the day, we're all women. And who runs the world? You guessed it, girls. Okay, so let's dive in. The Sorry Syndrome. If you haven't heard of the Sorry Syndrome, a quick Google search will reveal that there's quite a bit of, this is going to sound disrespectful. Please don't think I'm being disrespectful, but I'm going to call it psychobabble. The reason I'm going to call it psychobabble is because there's a lot of attempts by social scientists to get underneath and figure out whether or not women in fact apologize more than men, and if they do, why? Well, at Girl Out of Order, we have eyes and we have ears that we can observe, right? And this Girl Out of Order observes that women freaking apologize so much. It's exhausting. It's exhausting to me to apologize. It's exhausting to watch women apologize. And once you start noticing it, you're going to get extremely frustrated because you will, once you're paying attention, notice the difference. As I said before, and if you're not aware, again, go back to episode one. I run my own little girl gang of a 21-year-old Chloe, 19-year-old Chelsea, 17-year-old Delaney, and within 2 weeks, 15-year-old Sophie Sky. So my girl gang, I have a lot of my own, call it social science research, of watching how girls develop in this world. And they've got a very clearly strong-willed mother. I'm an Enneagram 8. I'm a challenger. I live big. I love big. You wouldn't think that somebody who's designed like me would be somebody inclined to apologize. However, you would be wrong. I definitely still struggle with the first words coming out of my mouth being, I'm sorry. And why does it even matter? Why do I care? Why am I even here talking about it? Well, let me tell you where the idea for this particular episode came from. I am a family law attorney, and as such, I am in court. I use the words in court a little bit more loosely these days because of Zoom court. Because are we really in court if we're wearing leggings? Not that I would do that, but yeah, okay, I digress. Back when I used to actually physically go to court, and even still now, can be in 3, 4, sometimes 5 counties in one morning. There's a lot of juggling that goes on because I have to be in Lake County, McHenry County, Cook County, Will County, and Kane County all at the same time. 9 o'clock court. Woo! Unless I'm 5 people, that is clearly not possible. But when I was just going to court in McHenry County, there are 4 courtrooms, and they're all set at 9 o'clock. And so it's impossible really to be in, 4 places at once. I'm good, but I'm not that good. So I was watching the way that women attorneys would step up in front of the judge if they weren't there right at 9 o'clock because, they were somewhere else at 9 o'clock. Remember what I just said? And they would step up. And then I would watch the men step up. And invariably, not all the time, but invariably, the first words out of the women attorney's mouth. Now, we have doctorates of jurisprudence. It sounds super fancy. I love saying it. We have doctorates of jurisprudence. And no, we do not wear the robes if we are the attorneys, but we have earned our place at the table. just like the male attorneys have earned their place at the table. And the women invariably would say, Your Honor, I apologize. I was blah, blah, blah. I was next door in courtroom this, or I was downstairs doing this. I apologize. I'm sorry that. And I started to notice a trend that the male attorneys typically, unless they were some of the young, I don't know, really understand the trend. Some of the younger male attorneys tend to do more of that apologizing. Again, I'm not a social scientist, but put all that aside. I noticed that more often than not, the men would just simply step up, state their line number, and state who they were, and, you know, explain to the judge why they were, in fact, standing in front of him or her. Mostly hims, because, well, that's the case in most courtrooms. And the women would, more often than not, I would say the vast majority of women attorneys, there are definitely a select few that don't really apologize sometimes for anything, but they would step up and, I'm sorry. And I started to get a little bit frustrated because I'm thinking, why are we apologizing for doing our fucking jobs? Why? Why am I apologizing to you, Judge so-and-so, because I was over in Judge such-and-such's courtroom? Judge such-and-such is no less important than Judge so-and-so, right? And the other thing that struck me is that Judge such-and-such and Judge so-and-so were both attorneys at one point before they became Judge you-know-whos. So clearly they understand that it is not possible to be in more than one place at the same time, and they certainly, unless they've been on the bench way too long, can remember what it's like to juggle a number of different courtrooms. And why am I going on about this? Because it really started, it kind of lit a match for me and made me start paying attention. And when we get to the very end, when we talk about, when I start talking about what do we do with all this information, this is where it started for me. I started to pay attention. Not just in the courtroom, but I started to pay attention in the grocery store and at the doctor's office and in the physical therapist's office and, well, whenever I do leave my house, coffee shops, I'm trying to think, when do I leave my house? Target? I don't know. You get the idea. I started to pay attention and notice a very clear difference, and it's not all the time. Again, not a social scientist, but I started to notice a very clear difference in how women interact in the public and men interact in the public when there is a perceived fault. What do I mean by a perceived fault? A perceived fault, and again, it can be different based upon the gender or based upon the personality types, but we're only talking about gender here today. Based upon the gender, what is perceived as a fault for which one should apologize is often very different than what a man perceives as a fault for which he would need to apologize. What do I mean? When you go into the movie theater and you have to get a refill in your popcorn because you bought a large and they give you free refills, so of course you need to get up and get your refill. Or if you're like me and you're older and you drink too much Coke and you need to get up and go to the bathroom. Doesn't matter. I don't know where I'm going with that. Sorry, I crack myself up. Regardless, you're in the middle of the row because those are the best seats. You get the best view and you have the best sound, right? So you're in the middle of the row and you're like, oh shit, I have to get up for whatever reason. And you get up and you have to scoot along in front of people, right? I'm sorry. Listen to how the women talk to the people they're stepping over versus how the men talk to the people they're stepping over. Is there a fault there? Of course there's not a freaking fault. Does anybody want me to sit there with no popcorn? Because then I'll just get cranky and bitchy and then I'll cause you other problems. Does anybody want me sitting there when I got to go to the bathroom? Because then I'll pee in the seats and that's gross, right? No, it's called life. It's called life. Sometimes we have to get up. A better example is when you're on the damn airplane and you're in the middle seat or the window seat, both of which suck and the whole world should be nothing but aisle seats in my opinion. But if you have to get up and go to the bathroom on the airplane, clearly you're inconveniencing the person who's sitting in the aisle seat. That's not you. But do you have to apologize to them for going to the bathroom? Of course not. You didn't do anything wrong for which you need to apologize. But listen to how the men talk. Listen to how the women talk. A lot of times it's excuse me versus I'm sorry. It may not be all the time, but I promise you, if you start paying attention, it will surprise you, shock you. And if you're somebody like me, it'll make you a little bit sad and a little bit curious. So I started to ask myself, why do women do this? Why do women apologize? And so I, of course, doing the very social scientific research of Google, because, you know, why not? I mean, I love when people Google, and my law degree doesn't really mean anything. But anyway, I decided to look into whether or not women and men actually apologize on different levels. Do women actually apologize more? Do men apologize less? Is there even a difference, or am I just being an overly sensitive feminist girl tribe protective mama? Before I could get to the bottom of that, I needed to figure out what exactly was meant by this quote-unquote sorry syndrome. So as the illustrious Google search taught me, the sorry syndrome was essentially defined, or we're going to define it for ourselves today, as the compulsion to apologize for things incessantly, even for things outside of our control. And the examples are pretty illustrative in my own girl gang experience of what it's like to exist in this world as a woman. And like the definition says, you apologize for things you have absolutely no control over. Oh my gosh, it's so hot in here. I'm so sorry it's so hot. What the freak, are you sorry because it's hot? Do you control the fucking weather? I don't think so. Someone else's actions. I'm so sorry that my daughter smacked your kid in the face. Like, why am I sorry? That little bitch needs to be sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I just said I'm sorry. See? It's a very bad habit to, a very hard habit to break. But, you know, apologizing for somebody else's actions when it's not our job is not our job. So that's the whole point. You apologize for normal everyday interactions, which is like we were talking about scooting past someone who is seated in your row in a movie theater or, God forbid, on a freaking airplane. Another one of my favorites, and I notice this a lot in the grocery store, I'm reaching up for something in the aisle and you happen to get, gasp, near somebody else's personal space. And you say, I'm so sorry. Why am I sorry? I'm not fucking sorry. Move out of the way. I need the damn corn. Wait, you're not even in the way. I just perceived that you might feel that I got too close. And I'm not talking about COVID BS close. I'm talking about like just regular interactions in the grocery store. Hey, I'm coming down the aisle. My cart is already here. Why should I say I'm sorry for not moving out of your damn way, right? And then apologizing for things that you don't even think are wrong. Oh my gosh, this is one of the things that absolutely kills me, especially when I'm dealing with my precious clients who are going through a very broken-hearted time in their lives. And sometimes they're dealing with very broken images of themselves. When I say broken, I don't mean irreparably broken, but I mean pretty. I've dealt with some pretty shattered women, and they apologize for things that if they really were being honest with themselves, they know are not wrong. But it's like the first thing off their lips is, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Like, you are paying me a lot of money per hour to advise you. This is your time with me. Why are you apologizing for asking a damn question? It's this underlying belief that, you know, it's not wrong, but I feel like maybe I shouldn't. Do I really? I mean, I don't know. Should I? Shouldn't I? Yeah, damn it, you should. And you sure as hell shouldn't apologize for it. And this one cracked me up. I don't even know if this is a thing, but it was so funny I had to include it. When you apologize to inanimate objects, I'm like, what does that even mean? Do I apologize to the tree that I bumped into? I mean, who does that? That is some serious syndrome there. So if you do have issues with apologizing to inanimate objects, well, you might be past my help, but you probably should do some very clear analysis of why you might be apologizing, you know, to your car that you bumped into. Unless, of course, you're in your car bumping into somebody else's car. That's a totally different topic. Okay. So there actually, on a serious note, there was actually a couple studies done. In 2010, there was a psychological science study. I think psychological science sounds like a very important journal, but I really don't know. So I'm just quoting it. But I have seen it quoted and explained and expounded upon in a number of different places. So I do think that this is a pretty well-known study. And the question that they were trying to get to the bottom of is just what I'm saying here. Do women actually apologize more than men? And surprisingly, when you first look at the conclusion, you go, oh, really? Because that's not what I'm observing with my own eyes. Because what the conclusion was is proportionally, there really aren't any differences between women and men's apologies. And I'm thinking proportionally, doesn't that mean numbers? I mean, I'm a lawyer. I don't do numbers. But, you know, seems to me that proportionally would mean numbers. But that's not what the scientific study actually found. Scientific. I keep using that word, and I'm not even sure I could tell you what that means in this context. But what they did is they had participants report in daily diaries all of the offenses that they committed or experienced and whether an apology had been offered. Where they found the difference was very interesting and I think does bear out with my own personal experience, and I'd be interested to find out if you feel the same way. Women reported offering more apologies than men, but the important part is that they also reported committing more offenses. Now, when we say offenses, remember, this is a perception problem. This isn't a legal definition issue. Women just found that more things were worthy of an apology, either one that they needed to offer or one that needed to be offered to them. So there was no gender difference in the amount of offenses that prompted apologies. It was the amount of things found to be offenses. So basically, the findings in the study suggested that men apologize less frequently than women because they have a higher threshold for what constitutes offensive behavior. And I found that to be very intriguing. And I started to look back at all of the annoyances I've had with apologies. And I thought, wow, like, you know, really the issue isn't the I'm sorry. The issue is, why in the hell do women feel like they have to apologize so much more than men? The positive spin on this, and there was another study that I thought was interesting. They looked more at what actually caused a woman versus a man to think of something as offensive that needed an apology or warranted an apology being, you know, received. And I love this part of it because I do happen to think observationally that women tend to be more empathetic than men. That doesn't mean that men aren't empathetic, and it doesn't mean that all women are, because Lord Jesus, I've seen a lot on both sides. My husband happens to be a very tender-hearted man, and I used to work with somebody who really wasn't. That was a female human who lacked the empathy that I really thought perhaps would be appropriate in certain circumstances. I'm not saying that either one is wrong, but I do think on average, on the whole, women tend to be more empathetic than men. And when you have more empathy, you feel things more deeply, and therefore your threshold for what is perceived to be an offense does tend to be a bit lower, thereby instituting an apology, an I'm sorry, or expecting that one be offered. So now that we have explained what over-apologizing is, what the sorry syndrome is, then it begs the question, why does it freaking matter? And why is Girl Out of Order all up in arms about I'm sorry? Well, I think that this is a, no, not I think. I know that this is a very important topic for women and girls in this world, as we make our way, as we build our compelling futures, as we expand our vision for what we are capable of and what we want in this life. Because again, going back to the empowereds, there is so much power in the language that we use. Let me say it again. Language is power. The language that we use, the words that we say, can be absolutely critical to our mindset and to how we build our compelling future. What types of behavior will we put up with? What types of behavior will we engage in? A lot of that is tied to the language that we use. Now, what do I mean by language? I don't simply mean the words that are coming out of my mouth. I'm sorry if you've never seen that movie. Do you understand the word? Anyway, one of my favorite movies. And I've said that to my kids a number of times. If you haven't seen that movie, oh my goodness, I'm blanking on the title. Seriously, one of the funniest. But anyway, it's not just the words that come out of our mouths that create power, their empowering language, or more often than not, It's disempowering language. The stories that we tell ourselves in our head, the conversations that we have with ourselves, can make or break our futures. I cannot overemphasize this enough, because the work that I have been doing in the last 3 to 6 months is all tied to empowering versus disempowering language. I had the privilege of taking a 10-week course called Unleash Her Power Within with Carissa Kuchis, KK as she's known, and she is the very tiny sidekick of the illustrious Tony Robbins. When I say very tiny, he's a very giant man, and she's a very tiny firecracker of a woman. And she started Unleash Her Power Within, which is the 10-week course designed for mostly women. There were some brave men that engaged in the course. I still would love to ask them why, but they did. And that course was so powerful. And a lot of what she focused on built off of and stemmed from Tony Robbins' Unleash the Power Within. My husband and I had the privilege of attending the in-person conference in West Palm Beach in November of 2021. The Unleash the Power event was truly life-changing, and I think it had to be one of the most special events he's ever had, and that's saying a lot. But it was the first in-person conference that Tony Robbins had in over 2 years because of the freaking pandemic. And the positive side to that is that the energy in those rooms could have literally powered a nuclear power plant. It was mind-blowing, but it was like a fire hose to the face of information and experiences, things that I had never, ever imagined myself doing, saying, or being. I certainly didn't imagine myself, you know, 4 weeks out from hamstring surgery, being up for 14, 16 hours in this conference and walking my feet across fiery coals that were like thousands of degrees, but I did it. And why did I do it? Because it was all about the language that we use in our mindset. So this is going to be something that I delve into in future episodes, because as this starts to unfold in my own life, boy, you can see I get all fired up. I am starting to change the narrative that I have had in my own mind that has kept me down, kept me depressed, kept me anxious, and frankly, kept my dreams completely constipated. We are going to tackle all kinds of topics surrounding the language that we use, the disempowering versus empowering language, our identities. We're going to tackle a lot of that in the coming episodes, because it's, as I do the work, I'm dying to share with you why it matters. So why does saying I'm sorry matter? Why in this particular topic is this so important? Why am I fired up about this? Well, I'll tell you why. I have, as I said, the four girls, and you're going to hear in the second half of this episode my first interview with my oldest member of my girl gang, Chloe. And the reason you're going to hear from her is because I was talking to her about this episode, and she reminded me of a time in her little life in elementary school where I swear to God, every other phrase out of her mouth was, I'm sorry. It got to the point where I was like, I'm going to lose my shit if you don't stop apologizing for breathing. You have to go to the bathroom. I'm sorry. Why are you sorry for pooping? You know, you ate your dinner, but you didn't eat that very last bite. I'm sorry. Like, my God, I don't want you vomiting. You ate 3/4 of the plate. Good job. Yay. Go you. But she would apologize for everything. And I could just see in her little tiny precious face and the way her shoulders slumped every time she'd say, I'm sorry. She just got smaller. She curled, like her whole physiology changed. Her shoulders slumped. Her stomach like curled, like her head was downcast. And I watched her become smaller every time she said, I'm sorry. Look, I am all for apologizing and asking for forgiveness when you've committed an actual offense. I have worked so, so hard as a mama to make sure that I own my shit when I screw up with my girls. I wanted to model for them humility, grace, forgiveness, and honesty. And I believe that I have kicked some serious ass in that area, because growing up, I don't know if it's generational, but my parents never apologized for shit. And that's not okay. It's not okay. They did the best they could with what they had, but I'm sorry really didn't come out of their mouths, you know. And I don't mean like regular instances, but I mean for things that they should have been saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me for. I think it was generational. So I, when I became a parent, when I was privileged to have babies, I was like, I am going to make sure that I model humility. But you know what? I think I may have overmodeled it. And definitely for my faith tradition, women were supposed to be smaller. She's a quiet, gentle spirit. No, that's not how God designed me. Jesus did not make me and go, oh my gosh, she's going to be such a quiet, gentle spirit, a little docile young lady. No! Jesus is like, oh my goodness, this one's going to be fun. She's going to be a firecracker. She's going to speak her mind. And you know what? Most of my life, I was told I was too loud, too bold, too brash, too aggressive, too this, too that, too much. And I learned to apologize for my very existence. And it became ingrained in my very being. And when I became a mom, I modeled my momming on all of these incredible women that I was raising my kids alongside in the church, my friends, people I looked up to, but they weren't designed like me. And so I think I just over-apologized in ways I didn't even realize. And when I was talking to Chloe, she reminded me of that time. And she said, Mom, you did such, so I'm going to paraphrase, and she can speak for herself in the next episode. But she said, Mom, you really laid it on. You would not let up on me until I stopped apologizing for things that I shouldn't be saying I'm sorry for. And when I asked her, I said, do you apologize for things now? And I'm going to paraphrase again, but I seem to remember her saying something like, I don't apologize for a damn thing. And I'm thinking, I may have overshot the mark on that one. Just kidding. She's just a confident young woman who knows who she is. She knows her worth, and she'll apologize when she needs to do so. But the last thing I want my little girls, who are now, you know, growing into women, to do and to be is to live in shame, to live in this sense of needing to apologize for so much that they have no business saying I'm sorry for. And I have seen that with women in so many different circumstances. Because remember, this world will do a very, very effective job of making women feel and be smaller than we are. That's just the world we live in. Why is it like that in 2022? I don't know. We have lots of powerful women, lots of examples of women that are strong and successful. And it's, look, so much progress has been made. And I do not want to minimize that in any way, shape, or form. But the default in this world, I believe, will typically be that women are quieter, women are lesser, women are second. That we should be grateful for what we get. Why in the hell would women want to do anything that makes ourselves smaller when the world defaults to doing that for us? Let me say that again. Why would women want to do anything that makes ourselves smaller when the world will default to doing that for us? This is a place to start working on empowering language that you say not just in your head, but you say out into the world. So what now? You're thinking, great, sounds good. Where do I start? What do I do? Okay. First of all, you change your damn behavior. Behavior isn't just action. There's an interesting definition to the word behavior where it says action or reaction of any material under any circumstances. And perhaps that was referring to something chemical or, you know, I don't do chemistry or science. Remember, I'm a lawyer, don't do chemistry or science or math. But I love that in this context. the reaction of any material under any given circumstances. Because a lot of the times when we are apologizing, it's in reaction to a circumstance in which we find ourselves. Change your behavior. This is a practice. You must practice self-awareness and change your vocabulary. If we change our vocabulary, ladies, we will find that we react very differently to the same circumstances that a month ago, our first words being like, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't even like the word, even though it's super important sometimes. So what do? Remember when we talked in a previous episode of put off and put on? This is the same kind of circumstance. We are going to put off the I'm sorry's when they're not appropriate, but you got to replace them with something else, because when you're scooching down the line in the movie theater, remember the whole thing when you got to get popcorn, you got to go potty, whatever, or when you're trying to get out of that little itty bitty tiny airplane row and you're stepping over or stepping on, you know, the person on the aisle seat, something must be said. You can't just like say nothing. So you put off the I'm sorry's and you put on the excuse me. Excuse me. That is a very polite, respectful thing to say. Another thing you can do is, I may have misunderstood, but, or unfortunately, I won't be able to make it that day. Unfortunately is a beautiful placeholder for the words I'm sorry. Unfortunately, I can't run your fundraiser at school. Definitely never sorry for saying no to that, but you don't want to hurt people's feelings. Another thing is, excuse me, but can you repeat that? Not, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. You're sorry because your ears didn't work? I mean, come on, you're sorry because they mumbled? No, excuse me, could you repeat that? I didn't catch that. And then my favorite, because I have so many opportunities to practice this because I have issues with being on time. Yep, I'm owning that. Instead of saying, I'm so sorry I'm late, you can say, thank you so much for waiting for me. I mean, there are times you got to apologize for being late because, well, you know, I'm really late a lot. But it's about practicing changing your vocabulary. Ask yourself before you speak, is this a situation in which I should be apologizing because it's warranted? Or when I apologize, am I diminishing myself? Am I making myself smaller? At the end of the day, we as women need to align our words with who we know ourselves to be, what our worth is, and what the circumstances warrant. Change your language, change your life. Yes, that's a Tony Robbins phrase. Oh, God, I love it. Change your language, change your life. Model for every woman in your life, whether she be older or younger or not even yet born. Change your language, change your life. You are worth standing tall. Your shoulders shouldn't be slumping. Your head shouldn't be down. And you never have to apologize for being who you are. At Girl Out of Order, we embrace our unique selves and we stop trying to fit into somebody else's mold. A lot of times when we say, I'm sorry, it's because we're fitting into a societal expectations that we have no business contorting ourselves into. So ladies, it's time to change your language and change your life. I am so excited for you to hear how this plays out in the life of a young woman who is 21 years old and making her way in this world, my Chloe Elizabeth Gale. So come on back. Next week, yes, next week, it won't be 2 weeks this time because she and I are doing our interview in the next couple days, and it might be clunky because I've never done one, but I'll tell you what I won't be doing. I won't be apologizing for it. I can't wait to I'm smiling from ear to ear. I cannot wait to introduce the world to my Chloe Elizabeth Gale because she's doing the work. Oh my gosh. She's doing such hard personal development work at such a young age. And she's anxious to share what she's learned. She is a strong, confident work in progress, and you're going to love her. And she's going to teach you how to be not freaking sorry in this world. So come on back. I cannot wait for you to meet my girl. For now, go out into this world and start changing your language, and I promise you'll start changing your life. We're in this together. I'll talk to you next week. I'm so thankful that you joined me, and I hope that you were encouraged and challenged to take a really good hard look at the language you use, not just the words that come out of your mouth, but the words that are in your head, the way that you view yourself. And if you were encouraged by this message, please do me a huge favor. Download it, follow my podcast, and share it with anybody that you think could benefit. It helps so much to get the message out there, because together, women, we can truly change the world. And it starts by changing your language. Change your language, change your life. I'll see you next week, and you get to meet my amazing Chloe Elizabeth Gale. Have a wonderful week.